I'm on right on a new reel. I'm setting up for Miss Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 26th of August, 1971. I'm on right on a new reel. I'm setting it up for Miss Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 26th of August, 1971. Faye and Suzanne have gone over for her. They left at 3 at 9:25. And I've just come in from mowing, and I just washed off and washed my scalp for Mr. Weaver's barber tools. Channel 1 right on new reel and the beginning, and I'm setting it up for Ms. Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 26th of August, 1971.
These water jugs here on the table.
Somebody's
been
making water jugs.
My large can.
Hey,
Margaret got me that.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm going to give Jim a call real quick.
Come from the hospital. Get the coughing and heaving, you know, a whole lot. And I was going to vomit, so she brought me. As long as I'm going to give you a big can to sit in.
Sure. Now, I don't have any boiled peanuts, but I sure got that for you.
I've got some in the refrigerator. Too bad I didn't bring it.
You talking to your honey boy?
Yeah. Tell him I will get home tonight to fix him supper. I've boiled him a pot of peanuts sometimes. And he sits there with a beer. And he eats them though I think he is going to pop. And I look around a few hours later. Those peanuts are all gone.
Well, now you told Suzanne about those how you did, but I couldn't hear out the other side of the car. Y'all would have boiled peanut parties.
Yes. See the church, you know, church right down around the cemetery down there, and we'd all just. But we didn't have the one we got now. We had the old church. This new one's been built since my husband died.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd get together on Sunday school, church and training union at night. And some of them would say, wonder who's going to give us peanut boiling this year. They get to stay in. Now, I think Mr. Frank's got a good peanut patch. Well, he'd get up, you know. Yeah, he says, providing you boys will come and help pull the vines and pick the nuts off. Oh, he'd have a bunch of them ripped around, ready to go, you know. Just well, when can we have it? He says, well, he says, we have, you know, we can't have it Wednesday night. We'll either have to have it Tuesday night or Friday night. And some of them said, how about Saturday night, Mr. Frank? And a neighbor spoke up and says, no. He said, can't do that. I said, that's nigger night.
Nigger night? Is that when they have their peanut boil?
I don't know about that, but they claim nigger night, you know. You have to go somewhere else.
Oh.
And we had a preacher one time. He says, well, I said, we would be in a revival with heaven. And I don't see how in the world we done it, but we'd go to church in the daytime, in the morning, go home, survival dinners. The men folks go field work, come in and clean up, eat supper, and go to church at night. But you can't do it now. You can't have two services, day and night, like we used to do.
No.
And when it's the truth,
if it's gonna stick, it's gonna stick.
I can't drink about three swallows before
it gets in your nose.
Ghost coming back up the other way through my nose. I generally drink six swallows, and on the sixth one, a big burp will come up. But since I come from the hospital, I can't drink too many swallows of anything. Seems like it all wants to stop right here. I don't want to go on down. And if it burps, it kind of want to come back up, and I don't do that.
So you had to, you chose Saturday nights.
So we'd have night services, you know, during a revival. We'd have night services. Sunday, it'd start Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, right on till Friday night.
Every night.
The preacher would say, well,
what I hear.
Yeah, I got company.
You hear Jackdaw going on.
I like to have a lair.
And the preacher would say, well, I tell you, Lord, says, I'd like to have services that go right on till Sunday. We'd have service tomorrow. He says, well, I guess women folks are going to have to cook for the preachers. And he says, and then says, you know, Saturday night's bath night anyway, just like we said, take a bath. Well, he knew the men folks, you know, go to church in the morning and rush right home, eat the dinner, change into the work clothes right out in the field, you know, and just like they didn't have to clean up before they went back to church at that night. But we would have good times. And then on some Sundays, you know, some of us get around, get to talking, you know. Well, where are we going to have peanut boiling? When? What night? Preacher says, why not have your peanut boiling on Saturday night? That's the night you take your bath. You know, you get awfully dirty out there eating peanuts. And after the study around, we'd say, no, let's wait till after the revival's over, then have peanut boiling. I'd say to myself, well, good. I wouldn't rather know what I was thinking.
I never have had any experience with peanut boil. I just missed out down here, Miss Chitty.
We used to have them lots. And they always picked on the man that had the biggest peanut patch and the best looking peanuts.
Yeah.
They happened to find out Mr. Ben Mixon's peanut patch was a big patch. That's Miles and Ike's and then Willie's wife's father. She was mixing, you know. They'd find out his peanut patch was a big patch. And he'd get up and, I don't know, he says, the young'uns have been going out and digging in my peanut patch pretty regular here lately. So let's call on Brother Frank Chitty. Frank says, ain't but one thing I object to, Mr. No, what's that, Mr. Frank? Or Mr. G. Most everybody called Mr. Frank. Says, what's that? They're going to have to come and pull the vines, pick the peanuts, pile the vines, leave no peanuts on the vines, and then scratch in the dirt and get all the loose ones up. And they do it, too.
They do it?
Well, they come peanuts tomorrow. I always pick the peanuts, pull the vine up, you know, just crumple around on them. That loosened the vine. Then they pull it up, pick the peanuts off of it, throw it aside. And if you don't throw them on the next row of peanuts. Find a vacant place to put them. I don't want them vines on my other peanuts. Well, we was going to throw them over to the cows or the hogs. They don't want the hogs to get started in here.
That's right. If they got a taste.
Well, they wouldn't have nothing but the vine to chew on, but they'd make hash of the peanuts if they would get in and root them up.
Yeah.
Mm. Boy, if I had $100 to every time I went and pull peanuts up and pick the big firm ones off to get 2-3 bushels of seed peanuts for the next year. If I had $100 every time I done that, I'd be set pretty.
Well, you all really raise peanuts.
Did when my husband lived, but after he died, no more peanuts were planted.
But they'd come and pick your peanuts.
They'd come, too.
And then they'd take them to where you had the party.
Down to the house. One that furnished peanuts had the party.
Oh, did
it? And a lot of the mothers that come would bring these lard trays like you used to buy hard lard in from tub lard from the store, you know, these butter. A lot of people used to put butter in them. And I think when you got one of them filled up and get off our car somewhere and sit down and eat about two of them, you had a tummy full with a little water in between.
Kitty, you're skipping a whole lot.
What?
You cook them after everybody got there?
We have them on cooking when the crowd comes.
Oh.
In kettles?
Wash pot.
Wash
big old iron wash pot. Sometimes we have two.
Oh, really? Old iron wash pot. Well, what do you know?
And we're using them iron wash pots now for watering troughs. One in the lot. And the one in the lot. And one on the south side of the house. For water cow watering troughs and a washing machine. That's what his watering troughs are.
Who'd know when the peanuts were done?
Well, some of them would get around then, and then they'd put salt in them, you know. Somebody'd be stirring them, and they want them, and they think they're beginning to get ready for eating. You'd see them reach in there, or not. Take it out and cool and chew it. Motion for somebody else to come. They get another one out. You know?
Right.
Ain't quite ready.
Yeah.
Somebody will have to put some more fire under the pot. These peanuts not ready. Ain't getting done fast enough. They'd run over to the wood pile. Frank always kept a big wood pile. And he'd start. He'd say, don't get that. That'll make too much smoke. Get some of them smaller pieces. He said, that's my splinter wood, kindling wood for the winter. He says, I see right now I'm going to have to hide that. And he'd have it. Always had a big pile of wood pile. Then maybe the next week, Mr. Mixon would give a peanut boiler.
Mr. Ben?
Mr. Ben Mixon.
Now, whose daddy is he?
Sybil's.
Is he Sybil's daddy? Well, would she come over there and sit on the porch with y'all?
We all got out in the yard.
Like you said, telling last time?
Right, we'd get out in the yard. We had old bench, chairs, and blocks of wood, boards on, get down there and get to eat. And some of them say, I'm getting up peanuts. We got to have some room to play. throw the boards back out of the way, roll the blocks back, move the chairs out, then drop handkerchief, and we're marching around the level, and oh, all of them old games.
And it wasn't just the children that played, was it?
I had the old folks in there too.
Oh, really? Oh, did they?
And dropped the handkerchief. Well, they left to drop the handkerchief behind me to get me to run them, you know. And I'd catch them before they could get me.
Yeah.
They'd think, well, now, Miss Chitty, she's so much older. And one night, Frank didn't take up much time in the playing, like anything like that, you know. He says, I work too hard out in the field. But the boys, they get out things. Somebody dropped the handkerchief behind me, and some man was sitting with Frank out on the bench. Said, "Say, drop that handkerchief behind Miss Chitty there. Why don't you?" Somebody said, she ain't had that handkerchief dropped behind her yet." And Frank, "Now, what'd you tell him that?" I says, "Ain't no use." Says he or she drops the handkerchief that, but she won't get back to where and her standing. I said, "Why?" Says, "Man," says, "all right," says, "you just let some of them drop a handkerchief behind you." Well, no sooner it dropped, I grabbed it and I was after them before they could get back to my place. I had them in.
Yeah.
I put them in the, what do you call it?
In the pen.
Yeah.
Some kind of pen, a pot or something.
In a laundry basket.
And when they'd be watching, see where I was going to drop that handkerchief in, so they could dodge out and get it.
Yeah.
And I was sizing up and looking and going in on. Get a good long breath. I dropped it. Boy, I laughed. I was running and you're about ready to pick it up. I was back then. Almost ready to put them in there. Frank says, "You see what I mean? Ain't no use to drop hats behind us. You're catchable." Mush pot. That's what
mush pot. That's right.
Mush pot. Get in the mush pot. I'd put a lot of them in the mush pot. And some of them said, "Miss Chitty, have you got wings attached to your feet and arms?" I said, "No, I just got to go."
You didn't have on that long dress then.
Well, it wasn't above my knees now.
It had a little length to it?
It had the length. You know, I got to reach down and grab it.
Oh, I see. You just grabbed it. Just like walking across the street in the rain.
I'm trying to walk a foot log about so big around over a string of water that's going I get on and right on across like a dog, but the rest of them come for. "I'm no dog. Yeah, wait. Let's all take hands. And you're getting a hold of my hand." I want to know why. I ain't going to be pulled off in that water. And I'll say, "You're so smart." I'd say, "Well, that's what Papa and Mama bought me for, to be smart. Take care of myself."
What did you just, what was the secret of it? Did you just light out?
No, sir. I just go right straight across that log. I wouldn't reel either way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't look down. I wouldn't look up. I just kept straight going. And the rest of them, they'd have to get hold of the hands, you know. Then I'll wait hands first. Get hold of hands with us. Nope. Let me go across first. I said, "I want to see if the log's too limber or something. The water will come up over. Come on, you take hold of the hands. I can't get." I said, "If I let me get over here and get a stick, I'll get a stick." Sometimes there'd be a lot of long knives. fictional and over on the other side. And I said, you stick to about to the end of the line. I said, all right, come on. And you come to the end of that stick, I'll get your coffee.
Let me tell you, I'm interested in how much boiled peanuts they could eat. Now, I don't know the kind of pan you said.
Oh, Mr. Miles, I know you can remember these lard trays that you used to buy hard lard in the store.
No.
I don't remember them.
No, that's funny. That is funny. The only lard pan I ever knew was a little bucket. You could get a 5-pound bucket or maybe a pound bucket. Oh, you wouldn't get a pound bucket, would you?
Yeah, you could get a pound bucket. But these were just...
How big?
And me, that it's really.
How about that can there? That peach can over there?
Oh.
That's not big enough?
They are made up just like a lot of these bulk dishes you buy for serving dishes on the table, you know, one thing and one. But it was pasteboard. And last time when you buy 2 or 3 pounds of lard and they'd put paper in there to keep from sticking to the tray. Excuse me. Then they'd take the other one.
Oh, you mean those little, they had those little things, they'd put anything in them, sausage or lard or
just
anything.
Just like a lot of times you go to these meat places where they've already got the meat cut, chopped and everything, they got them in there. We had a lot of them by not being greased up to base. We just put them back to
use for other things.
Now, like going fish frying or something like that, they come in good to carry on for dishes. To
sure.
Got time on you.
Sure. I don't know. They have different size, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes. Some shallow, some deeper.
Well, it ain't deep.
That would be how much for that hole? Would that be as much as one of them?
Well, it's just, it'd be where if it was long and a little shallow. Just like a boat.
Just like a boat.
Square on both ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, they'd have them. It'd be as long as this, about this wide.
Yeah,
sometimes it'd be deep, sometimes shallow.
Yeah.
But they'd be shaped up, you know, like a dish that you serve food on.
Yeah,
sloping
on the side.
Oh,
yeah.
And they're not
ready to
put
it. And how many could you eat of those?
I don't know, sir. I didn't count mine. I don't want the rest to eat. But I tell you, some of them. They'd eat enough to know if their stomach didn't hurt. They could eat anything and not hurt.
Well, you know, I never could eat boiled peanuts. I wasn't brought up on them.
I wish I had the money that, to the amount of boiled peanuts I eat and you had to buy them.
Well, now, you talk about salt, Miss City. One of my friends can't eat salt, and she can't resist boiled peanuts, and she'll eat a few boiled peanuts, and her pressure will go right up.
Imagine mine would do if I get a boiled peanut. Guess I have to boil them. Salt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Yes, she just can't resist boiled peanuts.
Thank you. That was good.
You'd even can them, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Even can them. Put them up.
Yeah, I can peanuts.
I didn't know that.
I think last year I put up 3 crates. Like your bean crates, you buy beans in. See a pick beans in. I put up three of them here before last. Frankie and Betty and them. But now since I can't have any things, so I just think I could eat a base of salt.
You couldn't put them up without salting them.
No, sir. I don't think they can without being salty.
Yeah.
Oh. You boil them good in the pot, take them out, fill these big syrup jars, big vinegar jars, or lard jars, whatever it might be. So you can get a regular cannon jar cap on that and use the lids on that. Put in another pot of water and boil for, well, you cook them till they begin to get kind of done, like, you know. And put them in the jar.
Mm-hmm.
But your salt's already cooked in them. Put them in a jar, put them caps on them, and put them in another pot.
Oh, yeah.
And cover them up. And then the steam from that cooking, the boil good, steam from that cooking, seals this other cap on there. You can put them on there just with a ordinary jar top without putting one of these regular can and jar caps.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you ain't satisfied with it, turn it bottom up.
What good does that do?
That throws the heat and the weight on them caps.
Oh.
Yeah.
I ain't been here 79 years for nothing.
You learned a few tricks along.
I learned a few tricks, and they wasn't all monkey tricks.
And you don't have any water in the can?
Yes, ma'am.
You do?
You have your peanuts covered with water.
In the can?
Yes.
Oh.
You take your, well, you can count them in the fruit jar as far as that's concerned. I want something bigger, because I don't have to work too long with burning things. I tell them I've got to have my fruit jar for the things.
Yeah. You can put these in.
And we have a lot of those big jars where we've bought homemade lard from the stores after we quit raising hogs and making our own grease and meat. And you know, there's a lot of big jars in the stores, syrup jars too.
Yeah.
And then my husband used to buy a lot of the big mason jars, fruit jars. And put syrup up in them whenever he made syrup. You've got our old sugar mill.
Yeah, sorry, that back.
Sweep. It's finally rotted. The old Bull Parker pulled it down, pushed it down.
The old what?
Old Bull.
Yeah. Well, they've got to rub on anything.
They get right then, you know, where you hit your tractor or your mule, the horses. You know, he get to pushing and he just pushed that thing around. Big black angry bull Francis got, you know, why don't you just keep down there? I don't know why, you might finish pushing the syrup from his post out and let the top fall down over the kettle.
Yeah.
We've got 2 80-gallon syrup kettles. There's been several of them. Nope.
How much? 80 gallons?
Each. Yes.
That's a pretty large kettle, isn't it?
Yes. And then when you cook 2 of them off, you've got a batch of syrup cooked up. I mean, it's work. It's work. When one's getting, you look, maybe the back one is going to be ready to come off. Well, you have to keep your eye on that front one and dip the back one off and get it out of the way. put more juice in and get ready for the front. Get all your stuff right. I said, you can't stop that thing from working that way. I said, I'm tired of having to move in, move in, haul around juice and his brother and the boys too, you see. Our boys, they'd be toting juice. They'd have a tub sitting up on the furnace back there pouring as soon as we get the last bit of syrup out. And then it was to move the trough over on that side there. And maybe we'd have a trough full of syrup. I said, Frank, what am I going to do with this syrup? And you throw it out on the ground. And finally got to realize, if you don't buy something big enough to put syrup in, I can't get it out of the trough by the time you got the other kiddo ready.
That's right.
And Jim, his brother, you know, he liked that. You could hear him outside. He laughed kind of slow and easy, like, you know, he make not much noise like until he got really tickled.
Yeah.
Then when he get tickled, he'd slap his thighs and his hands and he'd laugh and holler.
Yeah.
I tell you, better shut up, you from this hot syrup on you out.
Right.
He said, well, you got to catch me first, sis. I said, all right, you keep on crying me. I said, I'll catch you and I'll pour it on you. He says, no, you won't. I said, if I don't stump my toe before I get to you.
Could he move?
Yes, sir. He could move and Frank could move, too.
Yeah, both of them could.
All three of us, and now we take a notion to make my Charlie go.
Yeah.
And Pat and Charlie. We always said Mike and Charlie. I've run so many times to catch Frank when he'd be going to field, you know, to carry my bottle of water, keep from having to go way over in the field and holler, Frank, wait, get your water, get your jug of water. Oh, I forgot. I said, well, run on back here and get you in the wrong house and maybe I get in your mouth to it. Just there with me, she starts. I said, all right, I'm going to set it down and you come back and get it. Maybe Jim will be coming behind me after I'd run all that time. I said, why don't you tell me you was coming? I said, that's what about you? He said, I just want to see you run a little bit. I said, one time to fill this thing up again, I pour it on.
And was they both full of devil men?
Just as devilish as they could be, but Jim more, in a way. Well, most of his devilment was in scaring anybody, you know.
Oh.
He'd be walking along, look at that. And maybe. A lot of time we'd all be going to church at night, moonlight nights, you know, and they'd be walking along, and he'd say, look out, what a snake. Boy, we'd jump and go to living.
And he'd laugh.
He'd laugh. And I didn't dare look at him after he got in the church.
Oh, you didn't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I knew he'd make me laugh.
You had to do it.
And I had been taught not to laugh in church, you know.
Know how it is?
Yeah.
And all you have to do is look.
And I seen him. There was a, I don't know where it was, one of Nixon's girls, or one of Ms. Nettles' girls that was sitting right in front of him one time. Well, I was sitting over more in the middle, you know, in the middle aisle. I can kind of look both ways and see what was going on. You didn't have to turn around this way. And these girls, I don't know, they hadn't been in the habit of sitting up on that side, but I think it was to get close to the windows, you know. He had a long straw that he picked up coming along the wrong side of pick it up, maybe it's the end of it, you know, he was gonna take his teeth or something like that. He went to church with and I was them girls come in and sit down ahead of him.
Oh, yeah.
And he stick out of one of these old crow grass. Had a palm joint, you know, like a crow's foot. And he...
I didn't
stick out.
They thought something was getting on them, didn't they?
And then everything kind of settled down. They do services hadn't started, you know. He wouldn't have done it during service. And took the she said that thing's on me. On me.
Yeah.
And then I got up and looked all around and see the turret. He, what are you looking for? There's something I was I'd have punch Frank like that, you know, to kind of keep him from life and out. Frank was sitting down and he was going. But later on, we got to where we get up to the, a little close to the front.
Uh-huh.
We get on the side seats next door and it too. And Jim kind of get down a little close to back behind us. I'd watch him as we were going at the door, and I'd watch him when he'd come in. Look at his hands when he went down the back of that seat. Because he had the thing in his hands. Because he knew I'd squeal if his hand crawled on my neck. I'd go, yeah!
Right. He couldn't pester you in public.
I said, Jim said, you'll be shameless if devilin' them girls that way. He said, well, I want that seat close to the window then. They got it. And be one. So they got where they'd either come down below or get further back. They wouldn't get close to where he, I think they finally found out.
Now, you had to put up with that a long time, didn't you?
No, so he found that wouldn't do put anything on my neck back then and get away with it. I'd holler, because first thing I'd think there was a spider and I'd knock. And, but he found that wasn't no use to do that in church with me, because he knew I'd holler every time. And one time, I went to sleep sitting in the, in the rocking chair on the front porch, and just nodding like, he come along with a feather. Hey, I jumped out of that chair. I said, Jim, you do that anymore? I don't know. I'm going to quit getting anywhere before you can get close to me with anything in your hands. I said, I knew you was coming out then. I seen you pick that feather up. I said, and I was asleep, too. I said, but I knew you was up to some devil. I was. I was sound asleep. Come up the step. For some reason, I just had in my mind that he had picked up something out there in that yard, you know, and was sleeping behind, dreaming the same morning. Yep, now the chair. He said, I just wanted a rocking chair. I said, just as he went to sit down, he turned it around. I thought he'd catch the arms, you know. He get back up, said, I just turned around. He said, Uncle Plump, on the floor, through the hall.
And you all were grown.
Yes, me. Margaret and Will was right beside kids. They would tickle him to death.
They like it.
And then the Uncle Jim could frolic and play. But the daddy wouldn't frolic and play with me, you know. It tickled him because Uncle Jim could play tricks on Mama, and Mama turned around and play tricks on him. But don't play no tricks on Frank.
Oh.
And little Frank is about as cranky.
He is.
Little Frankie is about as cranky. And
will he play his tricks too? Little Frankie?
No, sir. He don't play tricks like his daddy and his Uncle Jim. He's too old.
He's too old.
And his daddy was 46 when he got married. When we got married.
46?
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't quite.
22.
22.
And you all pranked a lot.
But he didn't play many pranks or anything like that. And Frank, you're so old. I said, my daddy, that was a long time before my father died. I said, well, my father wouldn't even, I said, he wouldn't even as cranky as you are. He said, I know your daddy is pretty lively and pretty tricky. I said, you ain't got the life and the tricks that you can do it, my
father. Well, your daddy was tricky too?
Yes, he'd play tricks on Mama, he'd play tricks on Frank, he'd play tricks on Cousin Lonnie. And you know, any of us, any of the children, maybe be sitting out on the porch, we'd go by, and he'd stick his foot out, and we'd have to jump over it or else fall.
Your daddy?
He wouldn't do Mama that way, then. Come on, turn on him, grab him around the neck and go down on his neck. He couldn't stand that. That's the only way she could get eaten with him. It was
blow it on his neck.
The taxi was on by him. He said, ah, Maggie, 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 for God's sake, quit. And Mama was the same way. She couldn't stand anybody's blood. Breath on her neck, or trick anything around on that way.
She just couldn't stand it.
Yeah. And Rosalie couldn't stand it either. And our sister Maggie, I was funny, she was all the time in somebody's neck or hair, or dodging them under the ribs. They used to try to tickle me under my ribs, you know. They couldn't do a thing with me, but the rest of them, I believe they could just tickle them to death. And let me see. When was. It's been since I've been back from the hospital. Some of them come along with a string or something in their hands. And I was laying on the couch, got two wheels to it, and raised up, set up in it, or let it down and lay in it. Kind of a lounge like, you know. I was laying on, I don't know where it was, Rosalie, a baby. Anyway, they come along with something, and I happened to be laying my head kind of over that bit and was over this way. I wasn't so that way. Looking under the couch for something. I believe Rosie come along with a handkerchief, you know. Just come here, touch my neck. I said, ew! And then she said, my goodness, she said, for her, she said, I didn't mean to do that. I said, no. You know, she says, I didn't go do that. I said, no, done it all. You stood there and done it. She said, you talk that way and just come out of the hospital. I said, yeah. I said, I'll get you yet. She said, no, I won't. And I said, I will. Well, one night the six pushed my bed down to work.
You don't hear something, do you?
I think I hear it thundering. It was several days, maybe several days, because she wasn't there. too much long grass. I come home here before she went home. And she just sitting down. Well, we were playing cards. One night after we pushed it, got everything cleaned up, got all cleared away. I sat at the table. My place, the end of the table. Mm-hmm. I had on the bedroom slippers in. I slipped them all from my foot. And she just had them on this side. Margaret drove on that side, Frankie's plate. Kind of pulled my chair up a little more to the table. He used that shoe off. And my feet generally cool at night. Kind of looked under the table, got the foot placed just like. Just like I wanted. Step by her legs, don't worry. Socks all shattered and socks, but she didn't have it. Your foot up against her knee. Yeah, one time at a time, we got it, the frog. I done sneak banged up. What's the matter with you? She said there was something cold on my leg. I said, sis, I told you I'd get eaten with you. She said, doggone it.
Well, you had to let her know, you know.
As I liked and liked and got the coffee.
Get the air out of here.
I can see why those kids wanted you in their game. Can't you though?
You know, I kinda miss some of those.
You should die before you die. I told the doctor when he told me, he says, Miss Chitty, he says, I think I'll let you go home today if you promise not to eat too much salt. I says, salt? I said, how you eat food without salt, doctor? And he says, now, you're fine. He says, but I got to check your record here in the hospital more whether I'll let you go or not. Well, that was Saturday. So Monday morning he came and said, well, I think I've got you checked up pretty good. I think I'll let you go home. I says, you really mean that, doctor? I was over in across the hall in Miss Strickland's room where her mother was, you know, sitting there talking to them. I says, do you really mean it? He says, I do. I says, well, you want me to get up there and hug your neck? He says, I don't know whether I could stand it or not. He says, you might hang on too hard. I says, well, I can hug you tight or I can hug you easy. He says, well. He says, but you let that salt business alone. He says, you can't have no salt. Your food, I says, fair. I says, I'll die, I reckon. He says, nope. He says, there's a lot of people living today that ain't eating no salt. I says, that's what you think. And Miss Strickland, she just like, says, now that's something to think about, doctor. Says, you don't know whether it's awful salt or not. And her mother, she hard of hearing, really worse than I am, but I look at her and talk to her, you know, and she look at me and smile. I said, well, Granny, that ain't all. I said, a lot of people make them think they're doing what he tells them. And she kind of smiled, did you know that? He says, now how'd she hear? What does she know you? I says, that's mine and her secret. My great uncle in law, now it's Frank's great uncle. My great uncle. He was hard to hear. People were going, yeah, Mr. Chitty, so-and-so, right up at him, you know. Yeah. He says, that's the way it sounds to me like they're talking. He says, now I'm going, his daughter Annie, she's going, Pa, so-and-so, Pa, so-and-so. Annie, don't talk so loud. That I can't understand what you're saying. You jab it up so. She says, well, don't you? And I was sitting and walked across from, and I looked at her. I says, you can't understand her, Aunt Martin? He says, I heard her say something about Mary. And that was his daughter-in-law, you know. And I says, well, she just said, good Mary said that she was coming down, are going to send Cousin Charlie down and get you and go over to Cousin Annie's house for dinner tomorrow. Oh, and Cousin Annie was trying to tell him that all was right up at him, you know, trying to tell him all that at one time. Cousin Annie stepped back. She says, well, Pa, did you understand what Annie Pearl said? He says, I did. He says, I did. He says, you all get right up in here, right here, right up under me and right over me. And he says, you go to jab. Now, I can't understand what you're saying. He says, I'll tell you what I've learned by Frank's wife is I can understand most anything she tells Frank, and she's not looking at me talking, but she's talking to Frank. And she's talking not about just like she did to me. Because I know more about what she's talking about by watching her mouth.
Oh, really?
He said he could understand me better by watching my mouth. Even when I'd speak, I'd place my words, and he'd pick it up, and then he'd follow my lips. And I didn't know follow.
And that's Uncle Martin.
Yes.
Well, I didn't know he was hard of hearing.
Yes, sir. He was pretty hard to hear. He didn't have no hearing aids or anything, but
no.
He had this big old long stem pipe and put his tobacco in and light it, get back in that iron frame chair, swing like, you know, the feet down here, straighten out, be a smoke in the way. And he could when anybody was walking, you know, by the sound of the floor. He said, is that your answer? I'd say, yes, sir. Is there anything you want, Uncle Martin? No, I just want to know it was you. He said, I thought I heard you walking. He'd almost hear my footsteps from the rest of them.
Now, where was he sitting?
He was sitting on the porch. In this iron chair, leaning back, you know, enjoying his pipe. And one day he went to sleep with his pipe, but the bowl had turned over, and I had to wake him up, so it slipped out of his mouth. I eased up then, taking that pipe, and laid it up on the banister, right in front of him. There. He hear the chair rattled, you know. Where's my pipe? I don't remember taking it out of the mouth. He said, they fell out and went under the banisters out. And I said, no, Saint Martin, I fell in the basket right in front of you. He said, look at me. I said, it had turned over, and I was afraid you might catch fire, and I came hold of it easy, and I laid it up. He says, well, God bless you, child.
Now, it was a long
stem pipe from way down here, rest on his stomach or on his chest, according to how he was sitting, you know. Creepy! Oh, boy.
Well, I've seen him, yeah.
And he had another one that was a bigger pipe, but he couldn't hold it so well, you know, too big. and he couldn't get this stem that he had to stick in it. He says, I don't see why so-and-so sent me this big old pipe for. I can't use it. He says, and it's in the way when I put it up in my house. He had a little house we called the dog house, you know. It was sixer shaped up like a little house. And around on the eve of it, he had places to put different pipes. And he had pushed that right on the corner of the mantelpiece. So them two long stem pipes now could go in here and hang down.
And that went on the mantel.
Yes, it set up on the mantel on that side of his room. And there was something. Oh, there was a dog. Artificial dog, you know, just like the kids' little play.
Mm-hmm.
Brought out here, and he's laying on a little slab out at the end of the house. And he had a chain, he had chained up to his house. So.
Yeah.
Some of the children had give it to him years back, you know, for Christmas or a birthday present. And he like 14 days, I think, being 90 when he died.
Oh, he was that old?
Yes, sir. He was 70 some odd whenever he had appendix operation.
70 and 90,
and
20 years.
He was,
Well, that was back, where was that? Where did they live then?
Right there where his house was before it burnt.
Yeah. Oh, he was living there then?
Yes. And
well, that's what I want to know, Miss Judy.
He was operated on a door that hadn't been hung. It was upstairs. The door shutter, you know, hadn't been hung. They fixed it on chairs or something to hold his weight up. And the doctors operated, and they put things on them, bed clothes. And the doctors operated on him right there in his east room of his house. God, that went.
Took his appendix out.
Give him ether?
I guess so. Must give him.
Oh,
something.
You weren't there. You just heard him talking
about
it.
That was a good while before,
yeah.
I moved up there. I just heard how he told it, you know. Mine's a long time before his wife died. Oh, they say she was near about worried to death because Mr. Chitty was sick. Mr. Chitty was sick. She never called him Martin. Mr. Chief, all the time. So Nanny, his daughter, Annie Matthews, there was two Annie Chitties, Uncle Cooper Chitty in Macanopy, and Uncle Martin Chitty out at Flemington. Each one had a daughter, Annie, and they both married Matthews.
What do you know?
First cousins married brothers.
Well, what do you know?
And one, they called Cousin Annie, his daughter, they called her Annie Jo. And they called Uncle Cooper's Annie, Annie Will. Her husband was named Will Matthews.
Yeah.
And Cousin Annie's Joe Matthews.
I never heard of that.
So that's the way we separate them. You know, you're speaking of one to somebody else, can I do that and so and so? Can I do that? And the children would say, ain't Danny Joe or ain't Danny Will. So it separates the mothers.
Now, did Did they live out there close to you?
No. Cousin Joe and Cousin Annie lived across back of us up on the hill in an old-fashioned frame house. Well, of course, when they both died, it was a big two-story frame house. Then they moved out of the old and built a big new house, two-story. But when she died in the two-story house, but Cousin Joe died at his... I got to tell you why. He didn't die there. Now, during the time before he died, he'd had a nice blockhouse built down on the road going from the store, like you're going right on through to O'Kella.
Yeah.
And down there you had this nice blockhouse, rock house built out of rock. And I think he died there now, I'm not sure.
Is the old house still there?
No, so Mr. Burns, timber man, bought the timber and, of course, and the land. And he had the house tore down, made other buildings out of it, I reckon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's where it is.
And they never did. They had two sisters and had a well down in the lot.
Yeah.
A dug well down in the lot. And I don't know whether they got the water out of the well down there for drinking and cooking, or used the cistern water for cooking and clothes washing and laundry. But anyway, they had three places for water, and one was a dug well.
Mm-hmm. Now that was at Colonel Joe's.
Colonel Joe's place. And Cousin Annie Taylor, right across from them, on another hill going to Williston, they had a dug well. I don't think she had any cisterns. No, I don't think Cousin Will put up any cisterns. He got busy and dug him a deep well. And, oh, you could go there in the summertime. I set the bucket down and bring it up. Good cold water. But now you could go to our house. We had two cisterns and a pump. And you could pump your heels over your head and you'd never get a good cool drink of water. And I wouldn't drink it out of them cisterns because it's full of wiggle tails.
That's right. What were them wiggle tails?
Mosquitoes. There had to be mosquitoes now.
Yeah.
And one under the back porch. I think a cat fell in there and drowned it one time. So this old colored woman on Martin Head working there said, "You believe that cat fell in there?" Said nobody wouldn't tell her any differences. But she believed that cat died in that well. And we could smell it, and they tore the porch up, and they found the cat, and I believe that cat was dead in that cistern, Miss Pearly. That's what she called me, Miss Pearly.
Oh. Now, was that Susan?
Yes, old colored woman, you know, done the work there for Uncle Martin. His sister-in-law, and her daughter, and son and